Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
You are now rocking with the best. Best.
Good evening. I am your host, Stacey Blue, and you are listening to H Blue's Word on Hampton Blue Radio via Blog Talk. It is Monday, November 25th, 2013. If it's the first time you're listening to us, you can follow us on Twitter at Hampton Blue, no E on the blue, or on Facebook.com/HamptonBlue, no, again, no E on the blue, so that is BLU. You can also catch the archives of this episode and other episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn Radio app. Tonight, I will be speaking with founder of Operation Hunger, D.C., Richard Taylor. And here's a brief history on Richard Taylor. Taylor played tailback for Centerville High School in Fairfax County, Virginia, and led the state in rushing yards during his senior year. He was one of the few 10 high school seniors in the country to gray shirt and enrolled early at the University of Maryland. Taylor joined the University of Maryland in the spring semester of 2004 as a safety. He was later moved to a cornerback in 2005. He also joined the track and field team in 2006 and 2007. He was one of only four players to letter in two sports during the tenure coach Ralph Friedgen. In addition to producing as a football player, he produced top 10 all-time in the 100-meter dash at the University of Maryland. As a Terp, he played in the Chance Bowl, the Emerald Bowl, and the Humanitarian Bowl. During pro day, he posted a record of 30 reps of 225 pounds in the bench press and also ran a 4.4 in the 40. Taylor maintained a strong academic performance while playing sports for the Terp. He graduated in 3 years with a Bachelor of Arts in Communication. After completing his bachelor's degree, he enrolled in a master's program in real estate development, reflecting a vision for addressing the broad range of skills and knowledge important in creating viable, attractive, and sustainable communities. He completed his master's degree in the spring of 2009, becoming the first athlete to complete both his bachelor and master degrees prior to completing his athletic eligibility. Taylor's professional football career includes a futures contract with the Jets. Today, Taylor works as an environmentalist specialist for the Federal Highway Administration, U.S. Department of Transportation, but that's just his day job. Taylor is also on a quest to become one of the most powerful and influential entrepreneurs of this generation. But it is not all about making money. He is a giver in his heart. Therefore, he started Operation Hunger D.C. Now listen to this clip to learn more about the organization.
Operation Hunger D.C. Who we are. Operation Hunger D.C. is a pending 501c3 not-for-profit organization founded in the fall of 2013. How we serve. With the help of committed volunteers and local homeless shelters, Operation Hunger DC provides a sustentative meal for 200 homeless persons 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Why we serve. More than 27,000 D.C. residents live in extreme poverty, unable to meet even their basic needs, including purchasing food. Operation Hunger D.C. strives to provide nourishment coupled with informational tools to encourage growth and empower homeless to take charge of their lives. Where we serve. Operation Hunger DC distributes meals daily at two locations, Franklin Park Northwest and Minnesota Avenue Northeast. Each location is committed to serving 100 persons per day for a total of 200 donated meals each day. Stay connected. For more information about Operation Hunger DC, visit us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram.
Welcome, Richard Taylor, to H Blues Word. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. And now that is quite a resume or profile that I just read there. And you're still so young. You've had quite a life.
You're too kind.
And yet, you're still so young. You've had such a great life. Now, tell the audience, however, what inspired you to from having a life of sports to starting Operation Hunger DC.
Well, I mean, I think it's just a little bit of compassion and empathy. I mean, you know, I don't live in the silos of society that just allow me to live my daily life without thinking about how others are feeling or how they're doing. You know, when I'm walking down the street, I see homeless people. I see the despair in their eyes. Like, I can feel that they're not doing well and that they're not happy and that nobody's providing for them, which led me to a mission. I had a little adventure this summer, and I became a homeless man on the streets of D.C. for 48 hours just as an experiment, even though, you know, I've a job and employment, and, you know, I've been very blessed in my life, but I just needed to see for myself what that would be like. And when I tell you, it was utter misery. I mean, if anything is worse than death, then I would have to imagine that would be it. Nobody gave me any money, okay? I only got 61 cents in 48 hours. Okay,
wow.
I didn't get anything to eat because I didn't have any money because I did the thing correct. I just took a pen and a piece of paper and just wrote about my experiences and just went out there and lived as a true homeless person would without nothing. And so what I found was that there were only two places where you could depend on water, and that's the park. That's Franklin Park on 14th and K and then in DuPont Circle. So I was at least able to get some water. But I did it in July, right before July 4th, and it was quite miserable. I wanted to quit 6 hours into it.
Wow. I can imagine now. So did you feel less than a human being during this experience? Like,
oh, everything is different on the street. Everything is different on the street. I mean, the cars feel like they're zooming by. Everybody is in an iPod, iPhone, Android world, listening to their headphones. It's like people have blinders on. It's almost like the Matrix or something. It's like you're out there begging for money and nobody sees you. And what I found is I developed a resentment, even though in my mind, in my subconscious, I knew, hey, I'm a working man. I'm a productive part of society. I mean, I identified with the homeless people in that situation because I was, you know, I was wanting for something. I was wanting for food. I was wanting for, you know, just the basic necessities. And I was just like, you know what? Working people, like, they don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of attitude that I kind of started to develop. And to me, it seemed like everybody was kind of walking together, and they're walking to lunch, and they're walking home, and they're taking care of each other. But nobody was taking care of those who needed it the most. And the people that needed it the most were the people who had nothing.
And so now, you're a former athlete, and there's a very famous athlete, I won't say his name, but who has said that whenever he sees a homeless person, he just thinks, go get a job. Now, you being in that experience.
that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and that person is going to know. Because I'm going to tell you something. God can turn your situation upside down. So, you know, anybody talking bad about homeless people better humble themselves because it could be you.
Yeah, being in the experience is you meet other homeless people and kind of better understand their journey and how they got there.
No, because that was going to be kind of dangerous. I mean, You know, okay. I have a lot of compassion for homeless people, too, but, you know, there is a lot of mental illness out there and things like that. So I wasn't doing it to make friends. I was just trying to get it for the authentic experience of being in total want and depending on people's goodwill. And I have to say,
that's probably the reality, too, for them, too. They probably can't be friends with everybody either. So, you know, that's a true reality.
Right, because it's limited resources.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, that assertion, but getting back to what you were just saying, is that is ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't have constant food, if you don't have constant water, if you don't have constant shelter, if you don't have internet access, how could you ever get a job? It's like, you know, you have to have certain fundamental foundational things to be able to be a productive part of society. And that means you have to be somewhat in the system. And so, you know, when these people get disconnected from the system, there's no way back.
Yeah, yeah. And now,
you know, I mean,
yes, I agree. And now you say you only got 61 cents in 48 hours. So do you think that race played a part in you, in you being ignored?
No, I don't really see race on the street because, you know, I did a couple of things. Like I put like ketchup all over this hoodie that I cut up. I cut up my shoes. I beat up some sweats that I had so like I would really be like look like an authentic looking homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily think that people see race as much in that. I mean, I know we could throw race in there. We could, you know, that's good old America. We could throw the race card or something. But
yeah.
you know this ain't about race. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that when people just see homeless people, they think dirty.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of scared to interact because they don't know what the homeless person's reaction is going to be. They don't trust their sanity is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's about definitely a valid point. You're right.
I understand that, but it's inexcusable. And when I was out there, I wanted to come out with a handbook for how to address a homeless person because walking by them and ignoring them is not the answer. I mean, even if you have no money to acknowledge somebody, it means something. You know,
mm-hmm.
to explain, I don't have any change on me, I'm sorry, sir. I mean, that means something, to treat people right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about all the time. Like, you know, you might not have it, you might, you know, but just the want to, it gives a little strength. I had only three black males really acknowledge me when I was out there. And believe it or not, it gave me a little strength.
Wow!
Even though I wasn't getting anything from them, just the fact that they were kind of acknowledging me as human, I can't explain what it meant to me, but it meant something.
Yes, absolutely. And how do you think that this experiment has prepared you to run to be the founder of Operation Hunger DC?
I tell you what, it put a burden on my soul. I said, you know, after that experience and the hell on earth that being homeless is, I said, man, I have to do something. I have to do something about this problem. And, you know, the last couple of months, you know, I've just been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And the whole time what was really holding me back was being able to value engineer it to a number that I could afford. Okay, because anything over $40 a day for me was not going to be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we've actually value engineered it down to be about $28 a day at this point, and that's with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a banana, and a bottle of water. And I can get into the specifics about exactly how we do that, because if you value engineer it, you can feed 200 people for about $28.
Wow. And tell the people how that is possible.
So basically, here's how we do it. We're getting 20 loaves of bread for $16 a pop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can multiply that with however much, you know, you want to for the week. Comes out to about $100 a week. We're getting the bananas for $2 for 30 packs. So we run through 5 to 6 packs of those a day. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we're talking about $10 to $12 a day on the bananas. And then the bottles of water we get from a special guy who works for Aflac for 50 cents for a 24-pack. So we're going through about 8 or 9 packs a day. So that's about $4.50 a day
on the Packs of Water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been adding stuff as of late because we just needed certain things. Like, for example, we decided that we were going to put everything in a brown, like, you know, little paper bag. And so, you know, we're getting those, like 500 of those for $5.89. So at the end of the day, it's costing us, you know, $16 or $17 a week just for the bags. So we have been doing some different things. Like, the water wasn't a part of the original plan. But once we got the connection with the, you know, the 50 cents for a 24-pack, we had to do it. You know, we have to, even though this is stretching us and this is an altruistic thing, and you know, right now it's coming out of my pocket, and, you know, we still have to do it right. We still have to do this thing right. And I don't care if it stretches us. It's the right thing to do. And at the end of the day, you know, you want to plant seeds in the ground that'll bear fruit. You don't want to just travel your whole life just kind of living with no purpose. And so even if we have to struggle a little bit right now, you know, because we wanted to add something just a little bit extra to make it a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more convenient for the homeless people, we value the homeless people at Operation Hunger DC. We value the homeless people the same way that people that the park on 14th and K values their club patrons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think that there's value in them.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to do this alone. So how can others help you with this process? Because $28, it is a lot for an individual in general, but to think about it, a lot of us spend that much on lunch, you know, as lunch and dinner.
Exactly.
Every day.
I tell you, ever since I started doing this project, I never looked at a $20 bill the same. I mean, I tell you, it's just crazy. You know, it's crazy how much you could do with so little with strategic planning.
Yeah.
But, you know, people can get involved. We would love for people to get involved in a variety of ways. If you just go to www.operationhungerdc.org, that's www.operationhungerdc.org, you will have all of the different options that you can do to get involved. I mean, we need everything from preparation to on-site logistics. You know, we need help. You can actually donate to Operation Hunger DC. We have a PayPal set up that's attached to the website. When you click on the donation tab, it goes right to it. Whatever you have is fine with us. I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, we're feeding, you know, upwards to 7 people on a dollar.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, when it comes down to it, we're grateful for anything we get. I mean, if somebody wants to be extremely generous, God bless you. But, you know, here at Operation Hunger DC, we take anything because we're here to fight for these people.
And it's so wonderful that you are there fighting for them. So now, what is your goal for Operation Hunger DC, let's say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, our goal is to go nationwide. I mean, to expand. We want chapters in every city. We would like chapters of Operation Hunger in every city of over 1 million people. We think that we can get chapters together of people who will do this and make the sandwiches. You know, it's not that expensive. It's more about the effort than anything else. It does cost money, and that's why we do need you guys to support us, because we're not rich people, and we're really just doing this because we think it's the right thing to do. So we do need a lot of financial support, too, but at the end of the day, it's not all about the financial support. It's about the desire and the want to. And so, you know, we think that there are other like-minded individuals across the country, and we think the poor people of this nation deserve that. I mean, we give so much money to foreign aid. We do so many things, and I read a statistic the other day. It was like 1 out of every 4 homeless people is a veteran.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is
like
crazy that we send people.
Yeah, they fall
for this
country. They can't eat, they can't work,
And now you can't enjoy the fruit? You know, to me it doesn't make sense, and we have to do something about it. We couldn't sit back aimlessly by and continue to let it happen without trying to make an impact. So, you know, this is just the beginning. I mean, 200 people a day, 6,000 people a month, 72,000 people a year. It's a huge impact, but we think we can do double that. I mean, just with just a few few more resources, we could easily do double that. You know, we want to do New York. We definitely want to do Baltimore since, you know, it's just right here. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to go into North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida as well. So I think expanding from east to west coast is how we kind of want to do this thing. But, you know, stay tuned with us. I mean, give us capable people who want to do this and we'll empower you. I mean, this is no secret. Our formula is no secret. You know, if somebody else wants to come out with something like Operation Hunger and compete with us, we welcome it. We say, please do it, because this is not about Operation Hunger being preeminent, this, no, that. This is about feeding as many hungry people as possible.
Absolutely. And we at Hampton Blue are definitely have your back with this, and we'll help any way we can. And now tell me this, how do you think your past as an athlete has prepared you to run this organization?
Well, I think, you know, whenever you talk about teamwork and interpersonal skills and work ethic, I mean, you know, you could always relate that back to sports. I mean, discipline, I mean, these are things that you have to do to be an elite professional athlete and even a, you know, elite college athlete. So, I mean, I always think I draw on that, but I think more than anything for this, rather than my athletic prowess, I draw on my faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if you try to do something right, God will meet you more than halfway. And so that's what we're depending on, because, like I said, you know, I'm not a rich man. You know, I mean, I'm living comfortably, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't my idea that I would do this forever out of my pocket. Now, I would do it if I had to, because I think that once we start doing it, we got to keep doing it because the people depend on it. But at the end of the day, it's my faith in God and it's my faith in people that, you know, there's enough compassionate, good-hearted, kind people out here that they want to do something, and they've just been waiting for a vehicle to do it in, and here we are.
Yeah, so you will be the captain of the team and get us going here, because you're right, because some people just need to have some type of process to follow. You know, they want to help. You know, oftentimes people will buy a homeless person some food or give them a dollar. You know, there are people out there like that, but, you know, some of them, like you said, may want to be a part of an organization that will better teach them how to do that, like you said. You know,
this is about having a strategic impact. I mean,
exactly.
You're giving your dollar.
Right.
You're giving your
yeah.
dollar here,
yeah.
there.
Exactly.
You know, you're doing this, and yeah, that's good. And I applaud you if you do that. God bless your soul. Lord knows you're trying to do the right thing. But
right.
If this is about making a strategic impact. This is about making sure that people can eat every day. You know,
absolutely.
So it's a little bit different, you know, and I think that the effort's better served doing something strategic that can do a lot more good as a whole than just doing your kind of happenstance here or there just because you feel like, you know, I feel bad because I have money and they don't. It's I think it's a little bit deeper than that.
Oh, and that's it. That to me is the key. That's why they need to connect with you, because, you know, they already have the heart. They're already doing, you know, the little that they can, but with you, they can go a lot deeper. So I love that. Now, what do you say to the naysayers who do not believe that giving a little bit of their dollars to your organization will change anything? You know, there are people out there who say, well, there will always be homeless people. What can I do? What do you say to those naysayers?
Well, so you can come out there and see us feed these 200 people, and you can see the impact. You can see the looks on their faces. You can see the relief. You can see them gaining their strength back. I say that, you know, you can't be defined by a pessimistic attitude. You know, sure, we've had setbacks already. Things have come in more expensive than we wanted them to be, and people didn't have things that they said they were going to have, but... you know, we're building an army. We're building an army of well-doers. And, you know, we're here to say that, you know, we are the professional part of the black population that is the opposite of what Love and Hip Hop and all those other shows are. We're professionals.
Uh-huh.
We care about our community. And we want to be executives. We don't want to be entertainers. We want to be executives.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And now,
and so we want to bring that to the homeless.
Yeah, I love that. Now, any final thoughts you have regarding that you want to share with the audience?
Well, I do want to share that this wouldn't be possible without the Logan Group. They're the consulting company that really made all this happen. You know, they take, you know, your basic visions to realities. They create deliverables and deadlines for us. I mean, this was just an idea in my head, and it had to be organized. And obviously, we had to, you know, write a plan down. It was all the website development and the logistical development and ordering all the supplies and figuring out the exact locations that we were going to deliver in. And they're the people who really organized us and put us on a path to success. And so we're still working with them. You know, they basically do all the day-to-day stuff and make sure that, you know, all of the social medias are up to date and that strategically we're moving in the right direction. And so, you know, I would advise anybody who has an idea for a nonprofit to get with them because, you know, they've helped us in this way and helped us do something I think is good. And, you know, I can't say how thankful I am to their group for just doing what they have done, and I hope they continue to do it. And, you know, that's just, you know, one of the last little things I wanted to share because, you know, there's a lot of hands in this, and you need an army to attack this kind of problem. You need a series of like-minded individuals to get together and combine. And I just want to make another, you know, just kind of implore anybody's out there to, you know, please help us, please support us because we need your support. Even if you can't give any money, we feel your support. You know, just go to the website, keep checking us out, www.operationhungerdc.org. You know, donate whatever you can. If you can't, please, your prayers. We think those are just as important, and your support and liking our Facebook and following us on Twitter. You know, we just want your involvement. This is about us. We are us. We want more of us. There's no eyes in Operation Hunger DC. I mean, this is about us. This is about the community saying we will not stand for starvation of American citizens. This is ridiculous. We are the world superpower. We will not stand for domestic starvation.
I love it. I love it. Now, allow me to have my little Oprah moment here. So I would love for you to complete these three sentences for me. And Thanksgiving is coming, and a lot of times during Thanksgiving, people find the time to give to the homeless just on that day, it seems. But what do you think is the true meaning of Thanksgiving? Or finish a sentence. The true meaning of Thanksgiving is...
The true meaning of Thanksgiving is taking some time to reflect on just where you've been, some of your disappointments, and some of your victories. I think the true meaning of a Thanksgiving is an opportunity to grow, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's not about the turkey, it's not about the food, but it's kind of a chance to thank God and take a year to sit back and reflect on where you're going next.
I love it. Now, here's the second sentence. Feeding those in need is?
Christian. Is, yeah. Right. Is, I mean, you know, love thy neighbor. I mean, it's just basic. It's fundamental. It's human rights.
Mm-hmm. Now, Operation Hunger DC will?
Be feeding 200 people a day, 7 days a week. 365 years,
yes.
100 people at Franklin Park, 100 people on Minnesota Avenue, right by the McDonald's and right by the Metro station. We welcome those to volunteer and make sandwiches. Operation Hunger is going to be a huge success. We feel like it's going to triple in growth, and we feel like the people are really going to get behind us, and this is going to be a movement to get away from all the me, I stuff. And start giving back to our communities and being involved in our communities and coming together and practicing the fundamentals that this country was built on.
I love it. I love it. Now tell the people one more time where they can find you, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
They can find us on Facebook. They can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube,
www.operationhungerdc.org. Please come visit us. You know, send us an email. We'll put you in our listserv. Let us know when it's convenient for you to volunteer. We're so excited to have you. We're so thankful to have you. We claim you even though you're not out here yet. We know you're on your way. You've just been looking for the right venue. And we're excited to meet you, and we're excited to bond with you and fellowship with you with God's people who are truly the poor. And we're going to make an impact.
I definitely believe you will, and we'll definitely be in touch to work with you as well. Hampton Blue will work with you. And I just thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yes, that was Richard Taylor. Yes, we definitely love what Operation Hunger DC is doing and will do. To feed 200 people a day is just, wow, it's amazing. And like you said, you know, it really can go even beyond that with the help of you, of people, community. So definitely check them out. Now, the District of Columbia has experienced a significant increase in homelessness and poverty in the last few years, as evidenced by the following. 1/5 of D.C. residents live in poverty, and more than 27,000 individuals live in extreme poverty, unable to meet even their basic needs, including purchasing food, as you heard Mr. Taylor state. The poverty rate for women and girls increased by 13.7% in the D.C. metro area in just 1 year, nearly twice the increase in the U.S. Homelessness in D.C. increased by 6.2% from 2011 to 2012 and now stands at 6,954 individuals, a 9.3% increase since 2008. 49% of all homeless adults reported $0 income of any kind, while 3 in 10 adult homeless persons reported a chronic health problem. So with that, it's clear that you have to work with Operation Hunger DC. They have a plan, a strategic plan, and with these statistics, you definitely will be doing some good, particularly in the Washington, D.C. area. And as Mr. Taylor stated, they want to go national. Now, nationally, there are not really any definitive numbers, but in a recent approximation, USA Today estimated 1.6 million people, unduplicated persons, use transitional housing or emergency shelters. Approximately 1/3 are members of households with children, a 9% increase since 2007. And that's the key. Children are also homeless, because I think a lot of times people look at homeless people as being older folks who ran out of luck, lost their jobs, or mentally ill, et cetera. But a lot of these homeless people are, in fact, children. Now, another approximation is from a study done by the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty, which states that approximately 3.5 million people, 1.35 million of them children, are likely to experience homelessness in a given year. So it's clear that homelessness is just a national problem, not just in D.C., but a national problem. So we definitely need organizations such as Operation Hunger D.C., to be out there, to be proactive. Now, Thanksgiving is upon us, and we all know that with Thanksgiving, it tends to be about football and food. You know, those tend to be the staples of Thanksgiving. But helping out those in need is the true meaning of the holiday. So definitely connect, again, with Operation Hunger DC to help those in need during this holiday season and beyond. Because here's the thing, if you are really thankful, what do you really do when you're thankful? You share. Now, that is my show for the evening. I would like to thank again Richard Taylor for joining me. Be sure to catch me Friday at 11 p.m. as I review the film Black Nativity coming out tomorrow. Also, be sure to catch Hollywood and Friends Sunday at 8 p.m. as we bring you a best-of episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Hampton Blue, No E on the Blue, and catch archives for free on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn Radio app. Now, tonight I would like to leave you with a song by Marvin Gaye that feels appropriate for tonight based on the topic regarding homelessness, the problem of homelessness in this country. The song is called Makes Me Wanna Holla. And the lyrics speak volumes. So definitely listen. And again, connect with Operation Hunger DC. Help someone strategically. You know, again, it's great to give a dollar here and there, but Operation Hunger DC definitely has a plan. So until next time, peace. Marvin Gaye's Make Me Wanna Holler.
Everybody thinks we're wrong. are they to judge us?
Mother, mother,
simply call the sweet where I am on.
Mother, mother,
ooh.